Amen. So we're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Because like I said, we're going to be talking about prayer. But I want to start with this verse. I'm going to have to get there. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So let's read that one more time. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. So this is Paul's ending statement led by the Holy Spirit to the church at Corinth. As he's ending this letter, he encourages them, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are going to walk with God, we have to walk in his grace. We have to walk recognizing his grace and understanding and living in his grace. In the love of God, many Christians live, Christians, not unsaved, Christians live feeling like God is mad at them most of the time. That is not what God is, that is not how God is calling you to live. I don't want my children to feel that way because I love them. Now, if they do something wrong, sometimes they might have to feel my wrath for a little bit until they get in line. But then I want that to be done. And I want them to walk in right relationship with me. I want them to know that I love them and experience that love. And so we have to learn to walk in the love of God. I challenge you. If you are a Christian and you feel like God is mad at you the majority of the day, you need to get a revelation of the love of God. Ask God, God, would you teach me about your love? Would you teach me about the fact that I am righteous, not because of what I do or have done, but because of what Jesus did? Because it is really hard to enjoy serving someone who you feel like is mad at you all the time. And you feel like if you misstep that they're mad at you. But a lot of Christians live that way. Listen, Paul told the people, directed by the Holy Spirit, the grace, these are beautiful words, grace, love, communion, all of those things involve relationship with God. And a lot of people cannot live in the right relationship with God because they don't understand what right relationship with God looks like. Right relationship with God involves communion, which means fellowship and partnership. Communion between two people that the Holy Spirit and us. It is a beautiful way to live in the grace of God, understanding that my Father loves me. Do you know that my dad, I was just an irresponsible teenager, and I would run out of gas. I don't remember how many times I ran out of gas, just because I would wait until the absolute last minute to put gas in my car. And but you know, my dad was not perfect. He would say he wasn't perfect, but he loved me. And he would come, and he would bring gas, and he would put gas in my car. I remember finally the last time he said, "Shannon, now you realize that when you do this, you pull all the trash, like, into your gas. It's not good for your car." But he loved me, and so he would rescue me, even though, based on my own stupidity, you know, I was stuck on the side of the road, and it didn't happen that many times, maybe two or three times, but, and then I learned my lesson. But I still don't, I still honestly like to wait until the last minute to put gas in my car. I don't know what my problem is, but, you know, I haven't run out of gas in, like, 20 years, so it's okay. But walking in the love of God, if you don't understand the love of a father, this is the beautiful thing. God can teach you. I was reading this past week, and I'm just going to tell you this because I feel led to, and then we're going to go back to prayer. But I was reading this past week in Genesis because that's where my reading has been. And Rachel was in birthing her second son. And when she was birthing her second son, because she was in sorrow and she was about to die, and the midwife told her, "Don't worry, because you will have this son also." But it says because of the travail that she was in, she named him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But the beautiful thing is that Jacob loved Rachel, and he loved that little baby. And he changed the baby's name to Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Some of you have been named the wrong name. Maybe even by a parent. And you need to understand that your Father God has a different name for you. Because even though Rachel, you know why she named him that? I don't believe she was a terrible mother. I believe she loved her other son, Joseph. And in fact, we know that Jacob loved those boys because Rachel was his favorite wife, which don't get me started on having more than one wife, because that is not God's plan. And it caused a whole lot of drama, you know, for Jacob and all of his wives. That was not God's plan from the original. But he loved Rachel and he loved Benjamin. And I believe that Rachel, just in a moment of grief, and sometimes as humans, we respond to people the wrong way. And we respond as parents to our children in the wrong way. And we call them the wrong things because of, you know, a moment of sorrow. But God the Father, he doesn't respond based on that. And he sees us for who he has created us to be. And so I challenge you, let God change your name. See yourself for who God sees you and how God sees you, and learn to walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus, in the love of God, and in communion with the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to talk today about how prayer is the key. Prayer is the key to changing circumstances. Prayer is the key to changing relationships. Prayer is the key to changing our city and our county and our nation and our world. Do you know that prayer reaches across county lines, across state lines, across the world? Our prayer reaches. And God does supernatural things through prayer. But a lot of people don't pray, or they don't pray right, or they don't realize that they don't pray in faith. They don't believe, I'm just going to leave that there. They don't believe that God hears them when they pray. Some of the problem is that people think that God is sovereign, and so God's will is going to be done anyway. And so we can take ourselves off the hook by thinking, well, God is sovereign, and so he will cause what needs to happen to happen. I want you to look in, let me open my notes here. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 29. Because that whole idea that God is sovereign and his will is always done is, I'm just going to tell you, God's will is not always done. 2 Peter 3, 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. It says he is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. But we know that all are not coming to repentance. So God's will is not always done. And what we're going to see in Scripture today is the fact that we have a part to play in what God accomplishes on the earth. And it's easier for us to just say, well, you know, God is sovereign and his will is always going to be done. And, you know, because, yes, I believe that God is all powerful and he could come down and take over and make everything right on the earth. But we know that he doesn't, because he has given us a part to play. We have free will. Our decisions affect other people. And our decisions as Christians to pray or not to pray will affect many things in our lives, in our circle of influence, in our city, in our families, in our nation. And so this says, the people of the land, in verse 29 of Ezekiel 22, the people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. This is God speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord God. So here we see that God was looking for somebody to stand in the gap, to make a wall, to pray for the land. And so we can say all day long that it's not, or tell ourselves that God's going to do what he wants to do. But God has in many instances limited himself, because he could come down and take over. But he has given us free will and he has given us a part to play. And I do believe that there are times that God has called his people to pray and they didn't pray. And things didn't happen that God willed to happen because they were too busy, or because they were too distracted, or because they allowed other things to come in and take up the time that God had slotted for them to spend on their face in prayer. And that's strong, but I believe it's true. And so we need to be very careful, because prayer can be undervalued for so many reasons. We don't realize, if we really, I believe, understood how important prayer was, we would stop letting it get pushed out of our day and overshadowed by other less important things. If we really viewed every day in light of eternity, of the fact that we will spend eternity somewhere, that our neighbors, that our families, that our friends would spend eternity somewhere, it would change the way that we lived our lives and spent our time. The beautiful thing is, I want us to keep coming back, though, to the beginning. Prayer is the key, but it starts with 2 Corinthians 13:14. Communion of the Holy Spirit. If you will learn to commune with the Holy Spirit, if you will learn to make it about seeking Him, because prayer, the dangerous thing is that prayer can become a work. You know, the Pharisees said long prayers, and God said that the one who was beaten on his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, he went home justified and the other one didn't. So when prayer becomes just a work that I do, apart from relationship with God, apart from what God is calling me to do, apart from, you know, recognizing that I need to have communion with the Holy Spirit, then prayer can become a work. And I can be patting myself on the back. I pray an hour every day. You know, I tell all these other people about all their sins, and I try to get people to turn around and straighten up. And, you know, I do all these good things. Prayer starts with communion with the Holy Spirit. And that can cause prayer to be a wonderful, beautiful, exciting thing. Because when you start to hear the voice of God on a regular basis, it is exciting. I'm just going to tell you. When you start to read the Word of God and it begins to come alive to you, and you read just like I did this past week, and God, the Holy Spirit, says, see, the Father changed his name. You go, whoa. God, your word is so awesome. You are so precious. And so many Christians spend their lives trying to read the Bible, which they really think is really boring, not recognizing how powerful it is, trying to spend some time in prayer because they know they should, but not having any communion. Listen, communion with the Holy Spirit. If you will start your prayer time, if you have never experienced the joy of prayer, then let me challenge you, rather than starting after this message, okay, I've got to go intercede for my whole neighborhood to see them all saved. That is a very good thing. And I pray that you are prayer walking or prayer driving, because that's something that we are challenging. If you haven't heard that, that's something that we really felt led specifically of the Holy Spirit this month to focus on praying for our community, on prayer driving. If you can't walk and pray, or prayer walking, walk through a neighborhood. Ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to walk? I have had different places every day that I felt like the Lord led me to prayer walk or prayer drive. And so, if you will just say to God, God, what is there somewhere you want me to pray? Is there somewhere you want me to walk and pray? Even while you're driving to Walmart, just pray, God, there are so many people in these businesses that are lost and they need you. God, they need to understand that, God, without you, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. And as we begin to see people like God sees them, then it changes our perspective. It gets us out of just getting through the day and trying to, you know, do some good things. But it starts with communion. So let me go back. Before you go and just decide, I'm just going to save my whole neighborhood, just go and spend some time with Almighty God. And just get alone in your, in your time with God. And just say to God, God, I just want to be with you. I just want to see, do you have something to say to me? God, I just want to read your word, and I want to hear what you want to teach me today. Is there something you want me to read today, God? You know, I've been reading in Genesis, but Lord, is there somewhere else? And sometimes God will bring a proverb or a psalm. I've been in Psalms for like, I don't know, 6 months, a year. And God will just bring a psalm to my mind, and I'll just read that psalm and say, God, what do you want to say to me through this psalm? Listen, this thing is not only for people that have been a Christian a long time. This communion with the Holy Spirit is what it's supposed to look like. That's what God created back in the garden with Adam and Eve, that he would walk in the cool of the day and talk to them. It's about relationship. It's not about works. And when you start with relationship, then when God calls you to go and pray for your neighborhood and you're learning to hear the voice of God, and you say to God, okay, because like honestly, the first day Rick and I went and we walked and prayed, and I felt like there was a specific time that God had spoken to me that I needed to walk and pray. And so Rick walked with me and we walked and prayed, and we both pretty much just prayed in the Spirit the whole time that day. The next day, I felt like there was a different place that the Lord wanted me to walk and pray. And so me and Jude, we, you know, he's in the stroller. He is very good at hanging in the stroller. And I just felt that day, I just walked and prayed and I just let the Lord lead me. That I think it was that day or the next day, there was about 5 songs that I felt led to play. And I just had my phone on YouTube and I just walked, and these songs just, I just played them over and over as the Lord would lead me. And I felt like just let the presence of God fill the streets as I was walking. Now, if I'm thinking like if I'm not in relationship with God, I can think, what really is that going to accomplish? But when you're in connection with the Holy Spirit, and that's how he leads you to do it, you go, God, it's not about me. It's not about what I think or what I think this is going to accomplish or if I think this is a good idea. It's about, God, if this is how you're leading me to do it today, then I'm just going to do it and trust you to do the work. I cannot save people anyway. I can talk to people until I'm blue in the face and just make them mad about how they need to get saved. But when I get in connection with God Almighty and I begin to do things his way and I recognize that he is the one who saves people and draws people and delivers people and heals people, and in relationship, I'm connected to him already, then even when my flesh got tired and even when it started one day, I thought, man, my flesh was thinking, okay, I've got to figure out how I'm going to do this today. And it's like the Holy Spirit just kind of put me back in line and went, God, this is an opportunity to connect with you, Almighty God, as you desire to see the people in our community come to know you. And you know what? Any amount of sacrifice is worth that. But not only is it prayer and intercession, because honestly, I've had times of both. I've had times where intercession came on me so strong that all I could do was cry and pray in the Spirit. I've had other times, like the other day, it was like I didn't even pray. I just agreed with the song that was playing and went, God, just let your Spirit move. God, just let your presence fall. We need an outpouring of your presence. These people need to know that they're lost. Because the truth is, if people don't know that they're lost, you can't save them. Like, they don't need to be saved if they don't realize that they're lost. And that's a problem with a lot of people nowadays in America, is they think they're already saved. So if you try to tell them that they're not, you just make them mad. Like, you know, and then they start comparing their sin with yours. Well, how can you tell me? Don't you have any sin in your life? And then it becomes, you know, listen, we pray and we ask God to intervene. And then we speak when he tells us to speak, and we watch him work and him receive the glory. And that's how it works, because God is looking. It says, this verse 30 says, so I sought for a man, for a person among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. God is the one who is looking for intercessors. And I guarantee you, if you will spend time in communion with him, what will happen is his heart will begin to rub off on you. And all of a sudden, you'll start caring about other people. Because when you spend time with God, you begin to get the heart of God. And he allows you to see like he sees. And rather than just seeing all these people that are just, you know, need to get in church and, you know, need to recognize what a mess their life is in, you start to see that, man, they just need Jesus. They're just lost, and they just need to know that they're lost, and they need Jesus. Prayer is God's hands extended. But to know who and how to extend his hands, we need to pray. Because as I spend time in communion with Almighty God, my heart begins to change and become like his. And as my heart changes and becomes like his, then I can hear when he's speaking to me. If you want to hear the voice of God and you want to walk in according to the way that he's leading you, then 3 things. Number 1, you need to spend time in his presence. Number 2, you need to read his word. Because most of the time in the beginning, when God speaks to you, it will be through scripture. He will bring a scripture to your mind. Now, as you walk with him more, sometimes what God speaks to me is not scripture. He just speaks things to me. But as you walk with him, the 3rd thing is you need to be willing to make mistakes. And this is hard for most of us, because I know that most of you know me as a laid back person, and I am quite laid back on most instances. But just talk to my mom and she will tell you, I do not like to make mistakes. I want to get it exactly right, especially when it comes to me and God. Like, I just, she says, Mom will say, Shannon, you just analyze it so much to the nth degree because I just want to get it exactly right. I want to cross every T and I want to dot every I. I have been that way as long as I can remember. I am a rule follower, honestly. Like, if you tell me the rules, I want to follow them. And I'm like, with God, I just want to do it exactly right. I want to get it exactly how you want to get it. The thing is, though, as we learn to step out, we have to be willing to trust him, to go, God, you know my heart. And Lord, like when I walked that day and I just played the music, that's me stepping out, going, I'm trusting you, God, that this is you speaking to me. And that if you want me to pray a different way, that you are Almighty God. You could speak through a donkey. You can get through to me if I need to do it a different way. And so we have to trust and we have to be willing to step out believing that God is actually speaking to us. And if we fall, rather than getting mad at God and go, well, I'm never doing that again. Like I thought that was going to work and I didn't see any results and nothing happened. We go back to God and say, okay, Lord, I trust you. And I believe that you're teaching me through this, even though I don't see it and I don't know exactly what you're doing. I trust that you're working and that you're teaching me. But you know what? Even that is good for us because most of us have to still lay down some pride and some self. And as we lay down self and we say to God, God, what matters most is what you think about me. And God, I just want to be pleasing to you above all else. And that causes communion and relationship and it grows us. In Matthew 6:10, Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would Jesus ask us to pray that if it was already being done? If God's will was already being done, we have to be a part of what God wants to see done in our community, in our nation. And listen, I realize that when you first start listening to the voice of God, and maybe you hear, like, read Psalm 37, or, you know, look at Romans. I have had sometimes that God will lead me, like I'll have a reference in my mind, and I'll look it up, and it's like, yeah, that's way off. That was definitely not the Spirit. That's okay. You know, you just chalk it up to, okay, that wasn't God this time. And honestly, part of learning the voice of God is recognizing that was not God. Okay, so I'm going to remember how that, you know, that was not God and recognize that every thought that comes into my head is not God. So, you know, you have to learn to wade through those and figure out which one is God and which one. And it really, like I said, it really requires humility, but man, it's so worth it. Like, it's so much better to walk knowing that God will lead you every day, that he will speak to you, that he will show you what to do and how to do things. It's so much better than just saying, God, these are my plans. Will you just bless them? It's so much better to say, God, what is your plan? How do you want to do this? And even though it requires us laying down self and laying down pride, man, the results are so much better. And so I just want to challenge you. I want to close by reading this verse again. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Ask God to allow you to walk in those three things this week. Check yourself on a daily basis. Am I walking in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Grace empowers us. Grace doesn't just cover up things so that we can live how we want to. Grace empowers us to do God's will. As we focus on who God is, on what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, and as I let go of who I've been in the past and choose to embrace who I am in Christ, then grace allows me to do things that I could not do otherwise, that I couldn't do in my own strength, that I couldn't do because of my personality or my lack or my inability, but that I can do because of who he is. Understanding the love of God allows me to be secure enough to walk in the things that he's calling me to walk in. And the communion of the Holy Spirit gives me guidance and direction and wisdom in how to pray. And so as we do this prayer effort this next coming month, I just challenge you. Just say to God, God, just let me see, let me have your heart. God, show me, where do you want me to pray? How do you want me to pray? The Holy Spirit might lead you to pray just for salvation for every house or, you know, for protection or for whatever. Just trust that God will speak to you. and let him teach you how to hear his voice, because it is an exciting life. So I just challenge you, if you are not in right relationship with Jesus, that's where it starts. And Jesus made it possible through the cross, when he died on the cross. And so we're just going to open it up for one song, because we've already had an awesome time of prayer. So we're just going to open it up for one song to play. And if you need prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. I just challenge you, if you, you know, if you don't, if you're already saved and right with the Lord, that you would take this time to just ask God to help you to live in 2 Corinthians 13:14. To walk in the grace of the Lord Jesus, to walk in the love of God, to walk in communion with the Holy Spirit. Just say, God, show me what that looks like. He is the one that draws us. And then say, God, would you just help me to have your heart for my community so that I can see beyond myself? If you need healing or prayer for anything else, we'll be glad to pray with you as well.